In part three, we travel to Wales to speak to Andy Britton. Similarly to Craig, Andy manages a practice that he has set up right from the start to centre around patient retention and care. I know you'll be as keen as me to find out more, so let's dive straight in. Andy, welcome to the programme. Can you tell us about your practice and give us a brief overview of what services you offer?
My name's Andy Britton. I'm the optometrist director of Specsavers in Haverford West. I've been the director of this practice for 12 years. I took over the practice and immediately wanted to work to increase its clinical offering. We spent the last 12 years investing quite heavily in equipment and the technology to support what we're doing, as well as building the relationships with our primary and secondary care colleagues to sort of establish a trust and a mutual respect for each other and what we can achieve. I've been passionate about getting involved with all of the schemes that are available, and where possible trying to facilitate and work with primary and secondary care providers to grow the role of optometry. And you know, that really starts with the way we structure the practice. I mean, we make sure appointments are always available for emergency eye care. We have a number of appointments, three every day. So it's not a question of optometrists having to squeeze patients into a diary that's already busy. I do believe that as a profession, we've got to be offering more than just selling glasses. And we've got to make ourselves available for them, because patients can't choose when they have an eye problem.
Now, we understand that not only are you involved in the established Welsh pathways, you have established other local protocols here. Can you give us an overview?
We're currently sort of offering the full range of the Welsh Eye Health examinations. So we do the acute eye care I've just referenced there, as well as referral refinement for both glaucoma and for cataract assessments. We also perform glaucoma refinement for external referrals. So, for example, if practice isn't fully engaged with the schemes and are sending referrals into the hospital eye service where they're triaged by optometric colleagues working in that environment, those referrals will be bounced out to primary care practices who are able to deliver the enhanced investigations required prior to the patient being offered, if appropriate, an appointment. We also offer low vision assessments, so patients, unfortunately, who've ended up with vision that's not suitable for what they want to do in life, their quality of life. We have two of my dispensing optician colleagues deliver the Welsh Low Vision Service. And both the pre and the post-operative cataract care. So not only are we refining the referrals for cataract patients, we're also taking these patients. So rather than having an appointment after they've had cataract surgery, they'll come back to us for a slightly more enhanced investigation, making sure that they're happy with the results. There's no particular worries or concerns, and obviously should we find problems, we can then refer them back into secondary care or manage appropriately. A pathway I'm particularly proud of having been involved in is the Macular Pathfinder project, and basically this was established with a local consultant ophthalmologist who engaged with OCT enabled practices to deliver routine monitoring of macular degeneration patients who'd had previously been receiving intravitreal therapy but have been about a year since their last injection. This obviously takes some of the burden away from secondary care. We had one-on-one training, quite intensive training, with the consultant for several sessions delivered in the practice. So we had his patients coming to our practice with the hospital notes, and we were co-managing those patients and making clinical decisions. Are they safe to be left, or do they need to be returned to the hospitalised service for further therapy? One of the things I've mentioned with the practice is how we manage acute red eye and the emergency management. And I really do believe that we need to put the emergency needs of the patients at the core of the practice. We live in a remote rural location. The rapid access clinic for eyes in my locality is over 30 miles away from the practice. And so for some of my patients, that could be 50, 60 miles away from their location. And we are really ideally placed to look after these patients as close to home as possible. And I think if we were to refer every red eye that came through the door, if we were to refer every flashes and floater that came through the door, the secondary care system could not cope. You only get confident by doing it and making sure you get feedback as well, and make sure you make it as a part of your practice that you're looking at all the referral letters that you get back. And I know some areas of the UK don't get much feedback from the secondary care Now, we're fairly fortunate around here, and actually recently it's increased the quality and the quantity of feedback we're getting.
How important is the role that WEAG or WEHI plays in this?
We are, as a profession and as a practice team, all of my optometrists are Eye Health Examination Wales accredited, and we're all competent and confident to use the right tools, the right techniques to appropriately manage these patients. So red eye patients, you perform the correct examinations and you make a differential diagnosis or a firm diagnosis based on what you're seeing, and that formulates your management plan. All Welsh health boards are also tasked with delivering ophthalmic diagnostic treatment centres. Now, I view these as a place where local optometrists can really go and sort of teach and treat approach, so they kind of learn extra skills to take back to primary care. I'm a passionate believer in doing things in primary care rather than just generating a cohort of optometrists who solely work in secondary care. And I think it's really important with the profession that we do drive that forward.
Some of these you were involved in and developed before you were IP accredited, correct? Will this qualification help? Is IP qualification necessary to be involved in these types of schemes?
I'm very fortunate, actually. My local health board has funded my independent prescribing course. To me, the benefit of independent prescribing is the ability to take the responsibility for that patient, and also the ability not to try tracking down a GP to make those requests. And to me, the benefit of having IP in its entirety and having access to the NHS prescription pad is that I can manage that patient. I can give that patient the drops, the drugs that they require to treat the condition. I can take that responsibility, I can step up to the plate, and I can do the best for that patient that I can do. And I know that the treatment is correct. But I think, again, Wales is great because it has an eye care strategy. It states that health boards should deliver ophthalmic diagnostic treatment centres. It states that primary care should become the first port of call for services where they are practical to be delivered. So there's a healthy mandate from the top, and I have sympathy with my colleagues in England who are trying to negotiate with the 220-odd CCGs, all who have their own agendas, all of whom are very strict adherence to postcode lotteries. So trying to develop a coherent service is very difficult.
And in terms of payment and documentation, are you paid for these services? And if so, how and by whom? And is there specific documentation you have to use, like NHSNet or a local alternative?
I suppose a lot of people are wondering, well, how do we make it pay? And I appreciate, for our English colleagues, this is a challenge. I am an Englishman who's incredibly proud to live in Wales. The development of the Eye Health Examination Wales has been an absolute game changer for the profession and for the care patients receive in primary care. And I do believe in the reduction in stresses placed on secondary care. Approximately 96% of practices in Wales are accredited, so we're certainly not sort of alone in this. And I think the thing that's got right is it is allowing us to be funded for the work that we can do. I can make a business case for my practice that seeing these patients, these acute patients, the refer refinement patients, are generating the fees that allow us to actually move away from having to link our professional time to selling glasses. Now, I'm a passionate believer in charging the right amount for patients to access that care. That does not mean giving things away for free, because everything comes at a cost. And I think the thing with the Eye Health Examination Wales is that the band one payment, currently £60.60 for an acute presentation of flashes and floaters, I think that's a fair representation of the cost involved in delivering that service. And I think it's really important. I think the hospitals are acutely aware that I think the outpatient cost for a patient attending secondary care is about £140 to £160. So we represent good value for money. We're on the patient's doorstep. So I think that, you know, it does work. I'm probably seeing 40 to 50 enhanced services appointments a week in various guises in my practice. And as I say, I have made it a central backbone. Now, to me, these are patients that in England could well have ended up in secondary care. And I would say, I think a good 60 to 70% of these patients are kept in primary care, and an early audit of the original PAIRS scheme in the Cardiff and the Vale showed over 60% of patients with an acute eye problem were actually able to be managed within primary care. So, you know, from a secondary care point of view, I think the case is absolutely, it's open and shut.
And finally, thinking about our case study, do you see a point in the future where community optometrists will be the first port of call for anyone worried about their eyes?
I really feel that optometrists should be seen as the GPs of the eyes. And I believe positive engagement in pushing the boundaries of our profession is absolutely vital for its survival.
Thank you, Andy. It is promising to hear what is possible under the right conditions. Here we can see that a mix of national policy, regional schemes, interprofessional relationships, and individual drive have come together to enable the implementation of a truly innovative local referral process.